Good afternoon, friends. This is Carolyn Evers, and I have to tell you that in my part of the world, it is gorgeous outside. What's my co-host thinking about her part of the world? Caroline, what's going on where you live?
Oh, it's beautiful. We had a lovely rain this morning, so maybe that washed some of the pollen away, but everything, it seems like more things are in bloom now together than I've ever seen them. Just, our town is just gorgeous right now. Just gorgeous. Just really
delightful. I bet those people who are in the midst of storms don't want to hear that.
I'm sure they don't.
Caroline,
I don't know. Maybe it's good to hear that things are going okay somewhere else.
So their time will come, huh?
That's right, exactly.
Caroline, we didn't get a real good chance to converse about the show content today. So I had a thought in my mind, and you tell me if this is possible from your perspective. There's a lot of discussion in the news about cancer because we've had a couple prominent people who are discussing it. So I wanted to talk about a couple things, if we might. First of all, some thoughts from you as to perhaps some of the spiritual elements and the emotional elements behind this actually coming full bloom in the physical. And then the other thing is, are we able to pull out cancer from some of the genetic lines?
Which one of those questions do you want to talk about first?
Which one you want? Where, you tell me where you want to go. I'm kind of like leading this little story. Okay, let's start with cancer in general. What is your opinion as far on a spiritual level, the sort of things emotionally that a person might be carrying where it's going to spill over into the physical and be diagnosed as cancer?
Well, there are hundreds of reasons for that. For each different organ, there can be different things, and part of it depends on where people, where their body tends to store toxins, where their emotional body tends to store toxic thoughts and ideas. And traumas, and also since a lot of it is, or maybe not a lot of it, but some of it at least is environmental, part of it also depends on where you live and what sort of toxins you're exposed to on a daily basis. So there are lots and lots of different reasons. You have to really go into each individual person and figure out where they have it, and then God usually tells me why they have, and he tells me this anytime I work on somebody who's got a particular disease, cancer is no different, why they might have this disease and what the issues are that need to be released and issues are that they may need to be working on. So
how
there's
about,
not an easy
let's take an example. No, I'm real
okay.
Glad to hear what you just said because it was a lot more complex than what I thought you were going to say. And I'm glad that you elaborated on that. Let's take one of those thoughts. Let's consider toxic thoughts, for instance. Something that
okay.
A person has used in their daily life and eventually shows up as cancer. Can you give us some examples of that?
Certainly. One of the things that I've seen, for instance, with breast cancer in several patients, and this doesn't mean, or several clients, this doesn't mean this is all of them, some of them have had issues with being a mother or not being a mother, or issues with their children that they have, and they've stored their toxic thoughts about, oh, I can't have children, or oh, I had too many children, or oh, I can't take care of these children. All of that may be stored in the breast area. And so eventually, if that is not a thought pattern that's worked out for that person, that may turn into breast cancer. But that's just one of the reasons why people have it. But, you know, it can be that kind of an issue. A lot of people store their anger in their liver. That may transmute into liver cancer if that's where they store their anger. Some people store their anger in their kidneys. Some people store it in their more like in their pancreas or somewhere in the third or chakra system. So the thoughts that you keep is as anger, frustration, resentment, fear, pain or suffering, individuals store that kind of negative emotions and actually negative spiritual ideas also in different parts of their body. So when I'm called by someone who has cancer, that's one of the first things that I ask God about, you know, what's the reason for this and where are they storing it?
Well, that's fascinating. This was sort of like where I was going with this question, Caroline, and I thank you for describing this because I kind of wanted to get a feel for the emotional system, the different places that people might be storing these emotions, and when we get to the next step is what a person can do about it. Now, let's take, if we can, an example of a person who is storing one of these negative emotions, whether it's jealousy or anger, or and it hasn't bloomed into symptoms, hasn't bloomed into a diagnostic disease. We have a caller here. We must have touched a nerve out there. Who's calling, please?
Hi, I'm Carrie.
Hi, Carrie.
I had actually called into your show during Archangel Michael, and you told me to call in for a healing. I'm going to have another little baby. We are hoping in the future a very special little child, and I need a healing for my head and neck. So I had a drunk driver hit me, and I have rods and screws in there now, but I still have a lot of pain. In order to get that special little child, I'm not going to be able to until I get that. And I also have severe endometriosis. So.
Okay, now, wait a minute, dear. I understand your pain, but let's take out that word, I am not.
Okay.
Let's see, you're in pain, and there's some fear around this because it's something that you want, and you're feeling perhaps that you might not be able to accomplish this. So let's change the thought just a little, and let's rather think about, let us find the way to solve this.
Okay.
Does that sound better?
Yes, that sounds great.
Yeah, so let's not be fearful of this. You have a situation that you have to deal with, and so let's take the easiest and most compassionate way to do this. Caroline, you've heard this conversation, my dear. What might you be assessing from this?
Are you talking to me?
No. My first question is, are they planning to take the rod and the pins out?
No, they're forever.
They're
there are four vertebrae. It's actually one through four. They're forever.
Okay, and where are they?
vertebrae is 1 through 4 in my neck, so it's actually my head is actually fused to my neck, which is kind of odd. But.
Okay. That's what I was seeing, but is that the only one
that's fused?
No, the only rod and pins that are in there in your body.
Yeah, that's the only rods and pins I have. I do have a smushed pituitary gland in there, but, yeah.
Okay. Okay, well, what God's saying to start out with here is let's repair the pituitary gland. Because that's the cause of a lot of the other issues that you have.
Yeah,
so,
and I do have a miracle little boy he gave me. They said it should have been impossible to have him, but he's a special little guy.
Okay.
Well, you know, the impossible does seem to take a little longer to manifest, but it does get manifested.
Yes, it does.
Well, and also just because somebody tells you something
right
negative does not mean that you should accept that.
Oh, I don't. I accept I'm going to be better. I'm not going to let
exactly.
anything stop me.
Okay, now the first thing I'll explain to you through example. When I had a heart attack and bypass surgery, the doctor walked into the room and said how pleased and honored he was to operate on me.
Uh-huh.
And I went, really? And he said, yes. He said, you don't see what I see every day, he said, but you're perfectly healthy. Your tissue is all healthy, and you are not overweight. You don't smoke. You don't drink. You don't take medications, he said. Your body is in wonderful shape. And I've been sitting there going, I said,
wow.
Well, that being said, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Why did this happen? And he said, oh, you have bad genes. And I went, whoa, wait just a minute. No. I don't accept that. I do not accept that I have bad genes. I do not want my body to accept that I have bad genes. That because your cells hear what's said. It isn't just that you as a person hear it, but your cells actually hear that. And if they accept it, that may be the way it's going to be. So you have to say, no, this is something we do not accept. We are healthy, active, vital, and radiant. There's no problem.
Okay.
Okay, so anytime you have someone tell you something like that that's negative, you don't have to say it out loud. I didn't say it out loud to hint to the doctor.
Okay.
No, I don't accept that. I said it internally to myself, no, we don't accept this. This is not the way it is.
I agree.
And once your body understands that this is something that you do not accept, and you say it in a as positive a way as you can.
Yeah.
We're healthy. We're all alive, we're vital, we're radiant, we're all healing, we are fine. And we don't even say it in the present tense, not in the future tense, not in the past tense.
Okay.
You don't say we're going to be better.
Okay.
Well, when?
Yeah.
You say we are better. You
okay.
put it in the present tense, okay? Now, that being said, you need to do that with your entire body, and God's going to go in now to your pituitary gland, and we're going to call the stem cells out to come to your pituitary to repair and to replace the pituitary gland so that it functions in the perfection in which it was created.
Okay,
now, there's lots of research being done on the stem cells right now, and that's wonderful. I'm so excited to see it. However, the stem cells don't really need to be taken from one place and put in another place.
Yeah.
They can get there very well, thank you, all by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And all you have to do is ask the stem cells to go to a certain area and repair and replace any damage.
Okay.
Okay, and you can do this. Just ask God to have the stem cells do that, and they'll come marching forth, and off they go to take care of whatever it is. And it won't happen overnight. The stem cells are tiny little guys.
Yeah.
They can change to any cell in the body, but it does take some time, but they will do it. They
awesome.
Know that is their job in the body, and they are delighted to be able to help.
That's great.
Okay, and they're already up there working on that now. You can call back at a later time, or you can call me for an appointment at 540-586-2401, and we'll set up a time to work on your endometriosis.
Okay. Can you say that one more time? I'm just making sure I get it right.
Okay.
The telephone number?
Yes, please.
Uh-huh.
It's 540.
Okay.
586-2401.
Okay.
And it's Caroline Allen.
Thank you so much.
And
thank
before
you.
Before you go, dear, there's something that I want to add to that.
Okay.
We don't have to be fearful.
Okay.
Call on God. Breathe in God's golden light.
Okay.
And when you exhale, allow the tension and the stress to leave your body.
Okay.
Do you think you can do that when you're, you know, at some quiet moment, maybe when you're meditating or before you go to bed?
Yes, I can do that.
Yes.
Or when you're washing the dishes.
Okay.
Anytime.
I can do that. I have a question real quick, one more thing just to ask you. My son that I had, he's just a really gifted little boy. He's 3 and a half, and he actually, when we listened to a different show, I don't know which one, his numbers, his astrology numbers, he actually has, like, no karma with all the numbers. He has every number. And he has a milk allergy, though, and is there something I can do with him to help him, like, get that out of his body? Because that's just really hard. He's definitely allergic to milk.
That's going to take some time.
Okay.
Talk to me about it when you call me.
Okay, I'll
do that. And we can start working on him at the same time.
Okay. Isn't that really neat, though, the 10 that he has everything there? He's a neat
little
boy.
That's great.
And?
You're really blessed.
Oh, I am.
And there is something else to consider. Your son chose you as his mother.
I know he did.
Yes.
No.
He chose you as your mother because of, you being special. There was an agreement. You know, we agree before we come into our family line.
Yeah.
And so this special little boy that is such a treasure chose you.
I know.
And you are nurturing him and giving him what he needs to have. So don't be fearful. This is, I understand as a mother, when you want another child, that this becomes scary to you, but know that you are protected. Know that whatever comes your way, with God's guidance, and I want to bring in also your guardian angel and those around you that are protecting you, you have much support. So do not give in to any feeling of hopelessness.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much. It's great. And I will call you soon.
Okay, wonderful. Thanks for calling today.
Well, thank you so much, too. God bless.
Yes, bless you, too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, Caroline, you know, you're a mother and I'm a mother, and I think we have a very special connection to the mothers and also Mother Mary, who guides all of these mothers and helps them as much as she can. And, you know, this is just a beautiful thing. Motherhood is such a beautiful, wonderful thing, bringing these new children to the world.
It's really fantastic. I love it.
I do, too.
Even when I'm washing windows in my son's office. I still love it.
I know. Let's get back to our other topic, because I think we were working on something a little different, but I feel that it's very fascinating. And we were talking about cancer, since it is in the news, since some famous people have been talking about it. And I would like to go to that point where we were talking about anger, where a person holds their anger and other negative thoughts in what part of the body that, you know, there's a possibility that that negative emotional pattern, so to speak, could turn into something such as cancer. Now, my question to you is this. We're not going to get a chance to get that question out, I don't think. We have another caller. And your name, please.
Hi, my name's Rebecca.
Hi, Rebecca.
I have a few things. I was diagnosed with cervical cancer, and I had surgery. What could cause something like cervical cancer? Could there be a root cause for that?
Well, I guess you called because we're on the topic. Caroline, what would you say to that?
Well, yes. I'm sure there's a root cause for that. Sometimes, Rebecca, when you are doing healing work, it's like peeling an onion. You have to take off layer after layer till you get down to the basic reason. Sometimes there'll be just one issue that you need to work with or work on with yourself that will cause that. It can also be caused by... there are a lot of toxins that get into the cervix, so it can also be caused by toxins. You can have an occupation where you're working around chemicals or that sort of thing, and those, you know, can enter all the pores in your body.
Okay.
So,
yeah, I guess I was also thinking about the location, if that had something, you know, had some meaning to where the location was.
You mean where you live or
where the cancer was, the cervical cancer? You know,
sometimes it does. Why don't you give me a call and we'll examine that.
Okay.
To see what the reason is why you had cervical cancer in terms of whether it is, sometimes, and I guess this may be just my southern upbringing.
Uh-huh.
I don't like to do personal readings for people when it involves the prostate or the cervix or the uterus on the radio, because there may be things that come up that you would not want to be shared with
the whole
community.
Okay, I understand.
Okay, so I would prefer to do that kind of a reading on a personal basis.
Oh, okay. No, I totally understand.
Okay.
And
okay.
Also, one thing.
Do you have her number, Rebecca?
No, I don't.
Why don't you get her number, Caroline?
It's 540.
540. 586.
Okay, 586.
Uh-huh.
2401.
Okay. And then this is off topic of cancer, but thyroid. You know how they always want to stick names on it, and they said I have Hashimoto's? Can
mm-hmm.
I do the stem cell healing in that area as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure can.
And what I should say is that is the stem cells go to that area, and then if that area is healed or there is a healing taking place.
Okay. What you really basically need to say, and I'm getting that you're a healer, is that correct?
Well, I'm starting to...
Been a healer before.
That's starting to unfold.
Okay. All right. Okay, what you do is you basically say a prayer, and then what you do is direct God, and you just say, God, would you now send... to my thyroid.
Okay.
The stem cells.
Okay.
To repair.
Mm-hmm.
And replace.
Okay.
Any damaged or diseased cells.
Okay.
Okay. And then they come out and they take off and go up there and they start doing that.
Okay, and then how often should I be doing this prayer?
You don't really have to do it, but maybe once a week.
Oh,
and
okay.
Then
we'll allow it to happen.
And then what I do at the end of the first week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I'm doing it with somebody, I usually go in 2 or 3 days later and check.
Yeah.
Just to make sure everything's going okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm a medical intuitive, so I can see in there and see what's happening.
Correct. Uh-huh.
But
is that a skill that you're developing?
No, I'm not. I'm not really too sure what I'm developing, but I understand
okay.
what she's saying.
Mm-hmm. Okay. At the end of the first week, just say, God, if we need any more stem cells now, please direct those to my thyroid.
Okay.
Okay, and if they're more needed, they'll come out and head up there. So I do that on a once-a-week basis for a couple of months.
Okay, great.
Okay,
great. And when would be a good time to call you?
I am on the East Coast, and so I work from 9 to 5,
uh-huh.
Monday through Friday.
Okay.
Except that this coming week, I'm not working. So I'm working for my son, not from anybody else.
Okay, that's good. So after Easter, then?
After Easter. Uh-huh.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking my call and giving me such information.
Sure.
You're welcome.
Glad to help you.
Okay, you take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Now, we were talking about this energy that that people might store in a particular body part. Is there a possibility to clear this energy before it actually...
Okay, we're going to get
this
question
out.
Well, why don't we do this question and ask this caller if they can just hold on a minute.
Okay.
Can we do that?
Yeah,
since
we can.
It's so hard to get this one question answered.
Okay, hang on, caller. Before this negative energy actually turns into a disease, whether it is cancer or some other problem, can we clear this energy before it becomes a medical problem?
Sure.
Well,
absolutely.
I know the answer, but I kind of wanted to sort of walk this through with people so they understand how important it is to clear the body of these energies.
And that's not just to clear the body of the energy, but to purify. What you want to do is cleanse, purify, and release the negative emotions or energies which you're holding, so that they are completely released and you send them to God so that He does that. And then in its place, you put the positive emotion. For instance, if you were holding, say, resentment, then what you want to do is say, and in the place of these negative thoughts, I put joy.
Mm-hmm. Let's take this caller, Caroline, and then after we do this, let's discuss this more, because I think this is a very important area to get into. The caller's name, please?
Yes, my name is Heather.
Hi, Heather.
I have a dilemma.
Don't we all?
Yeah. And it's really troubling me, and it's health related and a lot of other things related. Right now, we live on a ranch 50 miles from town in the northeastern part of New Mexico. And for me, this is a perfect place to survive the coming earth changes. I mean, and I really want to stay here. The problem is that the old house has mold and it has chemicals in it, and I'm sensitive to that. We don't really have resources to build a different house, and what I'm really trying I'm stuck in the trees. I want to see the forest. I can't see the big picture here. I really need some help and understanding. What is the right thing to do? I feel for the future, I feel like I'm holding a space for the family if we do have these earth changes materialize. But for my health, I'm not sure. We can't live in this house, and I just don't know what to do.
Gee, that could be a problem, because if there's a lot of mold and chemicals that's in there, if you wanted to sell, that might be a problem even selling it.
Well, the problem is that it's part of the ranch, and we really, you know, we can't. It's a heritage ranch. We won't be selling it in any case.
Okay.
So that isn't part of the issue. Well, part of the problem, but it's.
Okay. Caroline, see what you come up with. I'll see what I can come up with.
Okay, Heather,
yes.
If you're in the place where you agreed to go to be safe with the earth changes, then everything is going to fall into place perfectly. There won't be any health issues. There won't be any toxins in the earth. Everything will fall into place because you're in the flow of what you and your soul chose for you to be in when you came here. So you're getting the message that you're close, but it's not the right place.
But close but no cigar, huh?
Yes, you are.
Oh boy.
You
close enough to what? I didn't hear what she said.
I said, oh boy.
No. But no cigar.
I said, close but no cigar.
Oh,
the old thing.
Yeah. You can hold a space wherever you are.
Yeah.
You can hold a space for your family wherever you are. But that, if you've got issues like that with the place where you are, then that's not the place you need to be. So you need to be looking around.
Oh, we have
for another place.
Yeah,
I hate to say that, but
well, you're not the first person who said it. I guess I don't want to believe it, because I've worked so hard to make this a place for, you know, we have we have goats and we have chickens and we have, you know, all this that's already here, and you know, we could survive here, you know.
Well, there are many, many places you can survive.
She has an attachment to the land.
Yeah.
And that seems certain. I think it's you know, you've got two issues here. You have the house and you have the land. How large is this ranch?
16,000 acres.
I think you have a connection to the land. I think you're there for a particular reason. Now, that doesn't mean that you've got to stay in the house. You've got a lot of land there. There's answers to this, and I do think you have a connection to the land, that you're there for a particular reason. You're saying that you don't have the finances to build another house.
Right.
Have you looked at all of the possibilities? I mean, how you could take another part of that property and make an available living space out of it. I mean, there's so many things a person can do. Have you thought of any of these?
Yes, I have. And
what'd you come up with?
Well, I keep running into roadblocks. My husband is elderly. He's in a wheelchair, so we have a lot of options are closed to us because of that. I've run into so many roadblocks, and I've been so sick I haven't been very clear-headed. And
sick,
you know,
because of the issues with the house?
Because, right, yeah. We had the mold remediated, and the problem is that they tell me that I'm lacking the enzyme that helps get rid of the toxins.
Okay, so you're lacking an enzyme in the physical.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Caroline, is there anything that we can do to help her with that?
Well, I'm sure God can replace the enzymes, but you still haven't really addressed the basic issue here, which is that the place where she is right now isn't exactly the right place either.
See, that's true, but here's what's happening as I see it. She's having some cloudy thinking, and she's having trouble with the cloudy thinking, and if perhaps you could do something to ask God to help with the enzyme to at least clear her mind so she can work with on a solution. There is a solution to this.
Yeah,
this is not... In other words, if you had a half an acre lot with a house that took up most of the lot and you couldn't live in the house, that's a different situation. But you're talking about thousands of acres.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a solution to this. The solution is not necessarily to live in that house, but I just feel that with all of that land, there is a possibility to find a solution elsewhere. So what do you think, Caroline? Is there something that you could do with its enzyme to help her?
Let me ask you. This is not your property, is it?
My husband and his brother own it jointly. It's a working cattle ranch. It's actually a working cattle ranch.
Okay.
My husband is, he's 80 this year, and he's reluctant, as I am, to get into any debt. We don't have debt. We probably could, you know... It's just a very difficult time. I think it's a very bad time to go into debt to build a house. You know, that's... And he's not wanting to build a new house. He realizes the problem. He wants to go rent an apartment somewhere, but I said, well, get into the same problem. You know, that's not a solution. But I do have a very strong connection with the land. I just...
Mm-hmm.
I really do. Very strong.
Yes, I see that. You do have a strong connection to the land.
Mm-hmm.
You have to find a way to live elsewhere until you get this. It's a problem to the physical.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. And so even though I have the sense that even though you've had this work done in the house and they have
they have done completed or say they have completed removing the mold. I'm not sure that what is left, the residue that's left in the house, is of a high enough level. There's things there that's interfering with your health, even though they say they have cleared that mold.
Well, I think I agree with you on that. I've been staying, we have an RV, I've been staying in that, and last night it was so cold, I just went in the house, and had a bad asthma attack today, so.
Well, that's kind of telling you something, isn't it?
That's telling me I can't be in the house.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But
I think we've all come to that conclusion.
Yeah.
So you have a three-way problem here. It's almost like a pyramid. On one leg, you want to stay on the property. The other leg, you can't stay in the house. And the third leg is you don't want to go into debt to build another house.
Okay.
I would take a piece of paper, and I would put down your objective. It seems to me that this is your objective. You want to live on the property. How to resolve this problem? Make a list of every possible way that you could solve this, because there's solutions
right
here.
Yeah, and what you need to look for here is a solution, and you need to look at it from the point of view of, you can be in touch with the land without living on it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you write that down as a possibility. Here's what I'm saying, dear.
Okay.
Every possibility that you can think of, every angle of the situation, you write it down on paper. And then you meditate on each one of these possibilities and you ask for help.
Okay.
And whatever comes through, you write that down on the piece of paper. You will be surprised when people carry a complex problem. And see, you've got this problem where each prong of the pyramid, so to speak, there is a no of some sort, and you're going around in circles.
That's right.
When you write everything down in paper and every possibility, and then you meditate on each one of these possibilities, and you ask your angels, you ask God, and you write down all the information that you're getting, it helps you to analyze the situation.
Okay. That makes a whole lot of sense.
Yes. This is a simple approach to help solve complex problems. And you have a complex problem here, and you are attached to the land. I see that ever so clearly, and it's hard for you to walk away from that. For sure, you can't live in the house, because even though it's been cleared, there is still something there. I'm sensing that there's a past life here. Either you've lived on that land in a past life, there's some connection. I can't get to that right now because I've got a cold right now doing some clearing of my own, and it's hard for me to concentrate on that answer. But there is something there, either in a past life, you've got a connection with the land, there is an agreement, I understand all of that. This can be, with so much land, you don't necessarily have to go into debt to have another living arrangement. You're seeing this as an obstacle, and maybe it isn't.
Okay.
You could write things such as this on a piece of paper, of bringing in a prefabricated home. A log cabin would be beautiful there, something that's inexpensive that you put together,
mm-hmm.
and you've got a new home without a lot of expense. So look into some alternatives. I mean, you don't have to build something that is a stick home where every single piece of lumber has to be cut to fit it in perfectly. And then it seems to me, if you finally come to some sort of decision as to what it's going to be,
then you look at, you meditate also on ways to raise money for that.
Okay.
You're locked, as I see this, you're locked into a situation where you're looking at all these three possibilities and there is a no answer.
Right.
Start looking at it from the perspective of there is an answer to it, I just don't know what it is yet.
Okay.
And well,
you
I
know,
think...
You've yes? already helped me tremendously because... for one, you've acknowledged that I do have a connection with the land, and I just have felt it so strongly.
I think you have a connection to the land.
And I think it has to do with my Native American heritage.
Well, I think so, too. And what I was getting is that this was from a past lifetime. I sense this as being a gift that you have earned from a past lifetime,
oh.
where this property is in your hands now, and you're sort of like the caretaker of it.
That's exactly what I feel. Exactly.
Yes.
You said the
yes.
word.
I see that very clearly, my dear.
Yeah.
What you're making very obvious to yourself is that you can't live in the house.
Right.
And so you're then turning around and saying, oh, but I can't build a house. Well, I think you need to find some, see, you have a heart of simplicity. You don't need something that is very expensive
right.
to live on that land. I mean, where you are, a log cabin would do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I have, you know, I would love to have a fancy house, but I wouldn't.
I don't think you need I don't mean to be telling you what you don't need, but I'm not sure from what I'm seeing that you require a fancy house.
No, I don't. I really don't.
You require the ability to live on the land, and it seems to me that this difficulty has come up. So you realize just how close and valuable the land is to you. It's
uh-huh.
not the house, it's the land.
Uh-huh.
Find a way to make the land yours without becoming involved in the house. The solution is there.
Okay. I think that there is. I believe you, and I'm also a person who is, I often put my head down and just bowl right through things, and I want to make sure I don't like that part of me, and I want to make sure that I don't, you know, bulldoze over things that I should not be doing. And
well, see, if you look at it from this perspective, what you're going through right now is a learning process.
Mm-hmm.
This is a challenge that has been put before you, but it is there for you to grow from.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
I know, I put my hand up sometimes and say, hey guys, I'm kind of tired of growing right now, can we stop with this?
Yeah, enough already.
Yes, but once you find a solution to this, you are going to come out on the other side much stronger, because this paradox that you're facing, you've done this before. I suspect that this has been a pattern with you, maybe not in this lifetime, but a pattern, and you have finally come to the point where you're going to break this pattern.
Oh, I'm ready.
But
ready.
You can do it.
Well, you know, you've helped me so much.
Call me back. Call us back and let us know how this happened, how you're coming along with this process of developing a plan. Because, see, I think what we've done today is we kind of have broken this thought that you are stuck within this problem and you can't get out of it. I think you've broken that today. You're in the next step now. Okay, this really isn't an insurmountable problem. Now you're at the point where you're willing to look, okay, what's the answer?
Okay, yeah, I think you're right. Mm-hmm.
And you probably can heat your motorhome in some fashion. Did you say it was a motorhome you're living in?
Well, it's an RV trailer. We lived in it for 6 months while the house was being remediated. We thought we'd
be done. You've got heat in there.
Yeah. Well, don't have any heat yet, but I will get it.
Well, you see, you need to get out of the house and clear your mind.
Yeah.
What is in the house is clouding your thinking process.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah.
Get some heat in there. Have a place to stay. Write your list. I do think who is your
spiritual support? Do you go to God? Do you go to a master? Do you go to your angels? Who is your... Huh?
The heart of the universe. I don't...
Okay.
It's not a person, but it's the heart of the universe.
Well, why not go to the heart of the universe and when you make your list, discuss this, ask your guardian angels to help guide you also. You know, call in some spiritual forces. The heart of the universe is a wonderful place to go. But, my dear, you can do this.
You know, you've given me the kick in the you-know-what, and I think I can do it now.
Well, I'm a good kicker.
Good. Oh, gosh, I really appreciate it. Thank you. You took a lot of time with me, and I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Call back. Let us know how you're doing on that.
I will. And thank you again so much.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, Caroline, we're back to this issue. Well, I guess we put it as an issue of clearing away negative energies before they become a physical problem. This is very important. So how about you giving your perspective on that, and then I'll talk about it a little.
Well, I've already given the first part of my impression about it. It's your turn.
You're going to kick the ball over my court, huh?
Yeah, and then I'll see if I agree with you or not.
So you mean just because you're friends doesn't because we're friends doesn't necessarily mean you're going to agree with me, huh?
Exactly.
On the air, no less. Well, friends, you see what I got to come with to bring this show to you? Let's hit a hot button here, dear. We have another caller, and your name, please.
Hi, my name's Rebecca, and I just talked to you from the call before.
Oh, yes, Rebecca.
When she talked about wanting to be on the land because of the way that the world was going, I immediately picked up that was fear-based, and I was wondering if that has something to do with her being blocked to even come up with a solution.
Interesting thought. Caroline, what do you think?
I absolutely agree with you. That's what I would have told her. You know, I was going to suggest that she give me a call because she needs to clear some past life stuff that she's got with the land, and she's doing it from a fear-based point of view, and that's not where she needs to be.
Right.
Well, Rebecca, thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, you guys gave her a technique on how to get a solution, but what I've found for me recently is taking a look at what is my belief about debt, and that debt is bad, but really it just is. There's not the duality to it that we give it in this third dimension.
Well, see, I disagreed with that thought also, Rebecca. I didn't want to bring that up, and the reason why I didn't is because I thought this was a belief system that her husband held.
Oh, got it. Okay.
And that's why I said go and see what other possibilities there are, because she was talking about age, and it seemed to me that it would be best not to put a thought in somebody's mind of going against what the spouse felt.
Yeah, unless she does her own work on herself, because eventually this will just come up again in another lesson or a form. So that was just kind of my thought about it. So anyway, that's all I had to say. Thank you.
No, we're real glad you called. I agree with you.
Okay, great. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye. I love opinions. It's interesting how a situation gets worked out when several minds get together and work on a thought.
Right. It is. Because we're all looking at things from different perspectives.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we're looking at it from a different perspective, but, you know, I also feel that this is how souls operate, in the sense that we were called into spiritual form with different objectives and missions, and so we use some of those tools that is very deeply embedded in our own souls. And when you get several people together who think a little bit differently, it's amazing what comes forth.
I think it's
awesome.
Yes,
it is awesome.
I think sometimes Well, I think sometimes we tend to agree with a particular group that we're aligned with, and so we form our opinions based on what that particular group says or does. And actually, we all have our own unique perspective on things, and being able to open up and look at those perspectives and see them as positive ways to approach different problems is how we solve problems.
Yes, I agree with that. And if we have an interchange with other people with an open mind and an open heart, it is amazing what we learn.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Just think what people are learning from us.
Indeed. We have much to offer, I think.
Exactly.
I've become very interested within the last couple months with this concept of the energies that we hold in the body and the thought of clearing them before they actually move into a full-blown disease, so to speak. And this, I guess you might say a technique, was first given to me when Julius Caesar came to me, and I worked with him on his story, which is Conversations with Caesar, which was an incredible time in my life. It was the first book that I had done, but what came out of that was some really remarkable spiritual concepts that, and some of them I was not familiar with. And one of the techniques that we're not going to get to this, are we? We have a caller. And your name, please.
This is Jeannie. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi,
Carolyn.
How are you?
Very good.
Good.
I just called to you so you couldn't keep on getting that done because everybody else is calling too, so I thought I'd call too.
You thought you'd jump in too. Okay.
Yep, jump in too. Just wondered, do you see a past life for me that that would be any beneficial for knowing in this life?
Would you rephrase that question? I'm not quite sure I understand it.
Well, I wondered if I had a past life that that I need to know anything from that past life that would benefit this life.
Well, I'll tell you, Jeannie, I think the process is a little backwards. I think you got to look at this life and look at the challenges, look at a physical challenge you might be having, an emotional challenge, a challenge that might pop up in a relationship with someone else, and you look at that and you try to figure out the root cause, so to speak. And if you come up with something in your life that you feel needs working on, then you look at the past life influence. Caroline, would you agree with my assessment of that, or did you have an opposing thought?
No. I don't know. I think that's absolutely correct. Usually, if there's something that you need, is there something that you need to know from a past life in this life, what's going to happen is it's going to be an issue for you. So if you've learned the lessons that you, or if you've had the experiences and learned how to cope with the experiences that you had in past lifetimes, you're not going to experience those again.
Because they're resolved.
Yes.
They're resolved, and so you don't need to. So there's not anything that you would carry forward. Now, if there's something that needs to be resolved, it's going to come up in this lifetime as well.
Okay, Jeannie, let's put this from another way. My darling, what's happening in this lifetime that you think you need to look at?
Well, my daughter was one that called earlier, the one that has all the screws and rods and plates in her head and neck.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Carrie, and I think that's probably maybe partly karmic because I take care of her and my grandson every day, except on the weekends when her husband takes care of them. And it's been a challenge.
I'm sure it has. It's been a challenge from a couple points of view. Being a mother, it's difficult to look at a child and know that they're suffering. So that is certainly a difficult thing to carry. And you're working on sort of like a 9-to-5 job with them throughout the entire week, and you love them dearly, but from the point of energy, that has to be fatiguing to you.
Yeah, so my daughter gets very demanding sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, because she's in pain, and if you're around a mother, one of the things, and you're in pain, one of the things that you want them to do is to stop the pain.
Yeah.
And you're not able to, and so the two of you are suffering from this. Caroline, do you have a sense of what might be helpful in this regard?
I was looking at whether it is actually karmic and what the what the karma for this is. So I hadn't gotten God was just starting to show me.
Let's let God show Caroline this a little bit, Jeannie.
Okay.
Let's give her a moment.
Interesting. This is not really a karmic debt sort of situation, okay?
Okay.
Sometimes we tend to look at karma as a debt that you owe somebody or they owe you because of something that's happened in a past life. Not necessarily the way karma works. Actually, you saw your daughter in a past lifetime. You saw her suffering with the same sort of situation that she's suffering with now, but you were not in a position to help her. Okay, what I'm getting is that you were not related to her, but were a friend of her family, and there wasn't anything that you could do.
Okay.
To help her. Okay. So you asked to be able to help her in this lifetime if she would come in through you and if there was an experience of suffering through which she needed to work. You would help her work through that.
Okay.
Okay. So you're doing this more from the point of view of helping her learn how to handle her pain and suffering and how to grow through it. And not, one of the things that we tend to do, and this sounds sort of like it's an aside, but one of the things we tend to do is we will not really look at the experience as how is it that I can grow through this experience. we tend to sometimes look at it as, can I make it each day at a time, rather than how can I grow through this experience. And God tells me over and over again that people need to look at it from the point of view of, how does this experience help me grow so that I grow through the experience. We can't go around the experience and pretend it doesn't exist. We can't jump over it and think we're going to get away from it. We have to go through the experience and accept the whole experience and then be able to turn and say, now how does this experience help me in the growth for me as a person, mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually.
Sometimes I feel so detached from her. Is that normal?
Yes.
Or normal
for me? You would have to. Yeah. Well, you'd have to because you're with it 5 days a week.
Yeah.
You got to protect yourself.
You have to also function.
Mhm. Yes.
You know, that's one of the difficult things about what you're going through. You also have your own life to lead.
Yeah.
It's not, and this is very hard for all of us who are parents. You choose to help your children when you can, but if you lose yourself in it, then you're not getting the point, and they're not getting the point. You need to enable them to grow through the experience and out of it. And you need to be able to have your own life and to be able to grow through the experience and grow out of it.
Yes.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Give me
Can
a call.
Can I add something to that? Are you finished, Carolyn?
Sure.
I didn't want to interrupt you, but there was something that came to my mind also about this, and that is responsibility and guilt. When you have a situation in the family, no matter what the situation is, especially when you're the mother or at least you feel like you're one of the leaders in the family, it's easy to feel that there is some responsibility for the situation. Now, I know that that's not a logical thing, but emotionally, I'm really discussing emotionally here. The person who's in charge can sometimes feel that there is a responsibility there and there is a guilt of some sort. And this is kind of going along with what Caroline is saying, that you help, but you have to nourish and feed your own soul, too. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I would love to talk to you about this more because I can give you some more insight that will help in the position you're in. If you'll call me at 540-586-2401,
okay.
After Easter. Call me after Easter.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
We can talk about that some more. Oh, thanks for calling back.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Jeannie. When I was working with Caesar and we did conversations with Caesar together, he gave a very interesting method of how to clear the body from these energies. And there are others besides this, but I think this is kind of an interesting method that when you go to bed at night, you can start, and you kind of are starting to relax from the stresses of the day. You start to relax your body, let the knot in your shoulders relax. It might even be good to, like, take a shower or a bath even before you go to bed. A little bit of music, some candles, kind of really pamper yourself. And
as you get into bed, you can either start at the top of your head or at the bottom of your feet, and you send your consciousness there. I start at the bottom of my feet and just send your consciousness there, being aware of what is there, and slowly move up the legs. And it is interesting because you may come to a place that just doesn't feel comfortable. It is like there is something there that you need to pay attention to. Caesar calls this scanning your body. And you might even be able to, after a while, even see things or sense things. And when you come to a place that feels that you need to pay more attention to that, that there is something that needs to be worked with, an energy of some sort, a block of some sort, you rest your consciousness there, and hopefully you will feel an emotion. That emotion might be fear, that's a common one, might be anger, that's another common one. But you work with this. Now, the first time you do it, you know that this spot needs some attention, but you're not getting an emotion from it right away. And so you let it go, and you come back maybe the next time. Eventually, if you concentrate on that area, you will learn how to pick up on that so that you actually feel the emotion. And this is what you are trying to release. You're working on your energy body here, and this is stuck energy from past lifetimes. And if a lot of this stuck energy comes from, at least for mine, came from when I died. Historically, a lot of us died violently, and it is possible for those emotions from the past to be stuck in this energy body because we can't take anything negative to a higher dimension. And so when we come back and we take on the physical again, there is a seed that filters into the blood system, and eventually we have to work with that emotion that needs to be released. And once you can feel what emotion it is, his method was to surround that with white light, with the concept of turning that over to God to be released, where that would then be recycled, because nothing is really destroyed, but it is just stuck energy. It is then recycled. After a while, when I did this, I could actually feel the energy leave. Sometimes I had pictures and a sense of the past lifetime that was attached to that, but you don't need to. Just knowing that this is being released, and then when you sense that this is released, then you call in God's golden light to cover that area, and you might say heal it or protect it. Did you have anything to add to that, Caroline?
Well, the one thing I would say is that God's always instructed me that you don't just release something. You release it to Him to be cleansed and purified. Because if you release it, there's no telling where it will go in the universe.
Well,
so
yes,
what
that's
you want
true.
To be sure that when you do release something from your body, that you release it to God to be cleansed and purified, and then you're okay. But you need to make sure that you direct whatever you release to go to God to be cleansed and purified.
Well, we did mention that, release it to God. God is actually doing
right.
His work. And, it's a marvelous way of bringing
dealing with these energies before they actually become a symptom. And if you don't take care of those symptoms, they then can come as a full-fledged disease. Masters came. There were 13 masters that came to me and gave information on all aspects of healing. People like Isis, for instance, Mother Mary, Jesus. So there were 13 of them, and they all came and discussed different aspects of healing. And one of the individuals that came was a frontier doctor, which was very interesting because she discussed how medicine was handled on the frontier and how she worked with herbs and how they worked intuitively with this, and she discusses this also. And if you're interested in those stories, that's at my website, www.carolynevers.com, and that is Chaos Before Creation. That is a very popular book also. And so if some of these different things that we're discussing with healing interests you, you might be interested in that too. So you can check that out. Well, Caroline, I think...
Well, good. I'm so glad you put your website up. I've been giving out my phone number.
Well, we would get to it
Who's
at some
turn?
Point. you kind of announce these things when they're really appropriate. And we kind of got started on one foot, so to speak. You know, we've got a full-blown disease like cancer, and is there some way that we could clear this before it actually gets to a full-blown disease, whether it is cancer or any other disease? By the way, in that book, Chaos Before Creation, in the back there is an appendix where they talk about the different emotions and how that emotion can lead to a specific disease, which I think is kind of interesting too. So we really need to keep our emotions in check. The problem is we don't really know that we're in this pattern until we take the time and really look at it. Wouldn't you agree with that, Caroline? It's hard to really see this sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. I think one of the hardest things in the world to do is to really look at yourself clearly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm amazed constantly when people call me up and they're in the middle of some terrible crisis in a relationship, and they really have not looked at themselves and what part they play in it by their actions and reactions. And they haven't taken responsibility for that. And that's very often, at the center of one of the things that we tend to do, I think in this country anyway, I don't know about other places in the world, but we tend not to take responsibility for our own actions. You know, oh, the devil made me do that,
the sun did it.
Or they told me in church to do this, or whatever. I mean, you have to take responsibility for your actions and their consequences. And I'm constantly amazed at how many people don't realize that the consequences that they are not enjoying are because of some action that they took or reaction that they had. Because what you put out is what comes back to you. So the universe works in a circular manner. And if what you're putting out is negative emotions, that's what's going to come back to you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting to me to watch how that dynamic works. And it's very difficult, I think.
I think it is too, and part of that dynamic, even before that, I would say, is the thought. Our thoughts, what we concentrate on and how we think,
creates a flow that follows through to actions, as I see it.
Oh, absolutely. And this is a particularly important time to watch what you're thinking, because what you're thinking manifests so quickly. And I think we need to be constantly aware of the fact that if we are thinking of a particular thing in a negative way, that's going to manifest.
Well, Caroline, so we have a little over a half an hour to the show. Maybe what we need to do is throw that thought out to people. If they want to call in and talk about how they manifested something, either that was wonderful or wasn't so wonderful.
Yes, that would be kind of interesting to see how other people are understanding their power to manifest, and how they need to be very careful about what they're thinking about. I mean, I'm even careful when I'm riding down the road not to think about what a crazy driver this is that's in front of me. I go, wait a minute. Don't even think about that. Think about it as, you know, something. Take that thought that this is a crazy driver back, so that you're not putting that out for that other person in front of you to pick up on.
To do some crazy thing in front of you,
do a crazy thing in front of you. So you're like, oh, pull that right on back. You know, it's as detailed as that.
I think a way to think about that is that thoughts are like boomerangs.
Mm-hmm, they are.
And if you throw out something that's negative or positive, it is going to come around to you at some point. And
it
that's
is.
A point well taken, Caroline, is that right now things are manifesting a lot faster than they used to because of where we are time-wise.
Well, exactly. And you realize that tomorrow is a new month, so we have a whole new shift in energy.
And we do.
And that, what, how's that going to manifest for in our bodies? How's it going to manifest in our lives? And are we looking at it as a positive thing, or as a negative thing, or as a puzzling thing? Or, you know, how do we tend to respond to things, I guess? And maybe we should look before tomorrow at how we respond towards things.
You know, you brought up something, Caroline, that I really had forgotten to mention, and I really need to. And that is March, April, and May. Archangel Michael has been working with each of the energies for that month. And if people who are out there listening to my voice heard either one of the radio shows that we did in March or attended the conference calls, we are now coming up to the energies for April, and Archangel Michael and the spiritual hierarchy is working on people that he has requested that we work with people in groups of 10 or 15 individuals. And these are not going to be on the radio like the other two were. So if you want to participate in that, because they're going to be working on the chakra system so that they harmonize with the crystalline cells in the body, send me an email, carolyn@carolynevers.com, about the April conference calls with Archangel Michael, and we'll send you the information. I don't know if I talked to you about this, Caroline. I might have, but what Archangel Michael has told us is that these energies that's coming in March, April, and May are energies from a spray of energy that's finally reaching this planet that was from a supernova 1987A. Did I tell you about that?
Yes, you did. But you may not have told everybody else.
Yes,
but you can go ahead and tell.
Well, okay. There was a two constellations that collided deep in space so far away from us that this happened 200,000 years ago, which to me is so mind-boggling that we have an event that happened 200,000 years ago, and it, the light of it just reached Earth in 1987. And that is when our astronomers first saw that. That's why it's called Supernova 1987A. And if you do a search on the Internet, the pictures are incredibly beautiful of what we received on Earth, what we're seeing. And Archangel Michael tells us that 200,000 years ago is when Homo sapiens came on the scene. So just the concept that this was all planned. Human beings came into form, and that is when this collision occurred to bring these energies to us now through this gateway, the Eye of Isis. And we are now going to take that energy, change our bodies, and move into the next dimension, ascension. I just love it. To me, this is so incredible to think that they have done such finite planning.
And it's,
yes.
They got to all be very busy.
Well, yeah, it's a 200,000-year cycle, and they planned the beginning and the end and where we're going after this. And Archangel Michael tells us also that this Eye of Isis moves around in the cosmos so that each group of souls has their chance to advance. This was our turn. The last time this happened on Earth, Earth had not finished cooling yet, and human beings weren't living here. So this energy that we're receiving now is the first time as human beings here on this planet that we have experienced it. Gee, no wonder my head hurts. My body hurts.
No. It's pretty intense.
It is. I tell you, I don't know about anybody else, but I've been struggling with it.
Well, I think a lot of people have been struggling with it, and I don't think that there is anything, I tell people, oh, welcome to the crowd, you know, we're all going through that, it's positive, we're having positive changes in our bodies, it's a little bit painful going through it, but coming out on the other side, we're going to be much, much better, much improved, and that is what we're really looking for. You know,
so we'll be a newer, much improved version, huh?
Yes, we are. We are. I'm absolutely determined that that's the way it's going to be. I've moved from stubbornness to determination.
Stubbornness to determination.
Oh, I used to be the most stubborn person in the world, and I decided I was moving out of that and moving into determination, and I was going to stand for the things that I think are important and let some of the others go and be determined that I was going to be here doing my work and manifesting things that are in my best interest and in the best interest of other people, and I'm pretty determined to do that.
Well, it sounds beautiful. Tell me, how would you describe someone who is stubborn?
Well, when you're really stubborn, you refuse to change. You refuse to look at somebody else's point of view. You're like one of my friends who asked me to do some healing work on him, and I did, and God then wrote him a letter, which God frequently does when I'm doing
God wrote him a
healing.
Letter?
Mm-hmm.
Did you say
and
that?
I read the
did
letter
I understand
to him.
You? Oh, really?
Yes, and then I'll read the letter to him. And God said, how many times are you going to go down the same street and crash into the same brick wall?
I didn't know God was a pen pal like that. I'm glad to hear that.
Oh, yeah. He's always writing letters. And I'm like, interesting that he said that. And this man just died laughing. He said, and then you put it in reverse and you back up the street and you put it in forward and you drive down the street and hit the same brick wall again.
I've got a visual of that.
I know. He said, how many times are you going to do that? Did it ever occur to you that you might be able to drive down the street and turn left or right? Driving into
we all have some
wall.
Children like that, don't we?
Oh, yeah. Driving into that brick. I have some friends like that. Driving into that brick wall, that's stubborn. Driving down the same street and turning right one time and then going, oh, that was the wrong way, so you go around the block and you come back and you drive down the street and you turn left, that's being determined to find the way. Okay?
I love it.
Stubborn is when you keep hitting that brick wall over and over again. Just
so that's God's definition of stubborn.
That's God's definition of stubborn. And he did. I mean, I knew I was stubborn. I got a lot of Scotch blood in my body, and I think that's part of it. But I was pretty daggum stubborn about an awful lot of stuff. And as I was going down, really working on my spiritual development for the first 10 years that I was doing that, one day I was, and I very often will get my Reiki table out and get on the Reiki table and work on myself and do some inner work and so forth. And I was doing some inner work, and I got pretty upset about how stubborn I had been for so long and had refused to move off of first plate. You know, I just kept standing on first plate or first base. And Jesus walked into the room, and he looked at me, and he took my hand, and he said, my sister, you have moved from stubborn to determined. You're in the doorway. You haven't walked fully into the room, but you understand now what stubbornness is, and that it's really pretty pointless. You don't go anywhere. So you've made that first step that you need to make towards determination. And I was so thrilled. I can't tell you how thrilled I was. I was just so thrilled that I actually was being told, yes, you know, you changed, you turned, you quit running that brick wall. You're open to change, you're open to accepting responsibility, to make some new decisions, some new choices, and that's exactly where we all pray and hope and dream and meditate on getting to the point where you are open.
I love that story, Caroline. Thank you for telling us that. I was getting a visual, though, as you're talking about this driving down the street and hitting
street.
The same brick wall. I'm thinking, my golly, the shape of that bumper and fender must have been interesting.
Exactly. Well, think about all the nicks in the brick wall.
Yes.
But you still keep ramming into it, you know?
Let's get back to something that we started the afternoon with. We were talking about cancer, and we were talking about the energies. Is there a possibility that these sorts of things can be carried through the genetic line?
Diseases?
Well, I was
sure.
Thinking of cancer in particular, since we, you know, started the program with that.
Oh, yes, it can be. It can definitely be carried in the genetic line. There's no doubt about it. And when I see it in the genes, when I'm looking for a genetic marker for this particular disease, whatever it is, I will usually see gene that is not, it's not perfect. Okay, though I temper my definition of perfect because we were created in perfection, yet we have we've taken some of that away by our behaviors and the kind of things that we've done to the land and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm looking at a normal gene, it is, I see it as sort of like a white piece, a small piece of paper, a white small piece of paper, okay? And if it is gray or brown or black edges or black, that means that gene itself is not normal. So what God does when he shows me that is pull that gene out and replace it with one that's white.
Mm-hmm.
So that you have a normal gene in that position, and then you go back into the or I always go back into the genetic line and past lifetimes to make sure that that's replaced and make sure that it's taken out in the genetic line or in any of your past lifetimes, so you don't pass it on to any children who may come in
mm-hmm.
the future. But, it's definitely in there for some things. Some things, and it's kind of interesting, some families may have a genetic predisposition to lung cancer, and others mm-hmm. may not have a genetic predisposition to they may not have the gene for lung cancer, but they may be heavy smokers and they may get it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Or they may have worked with asbestos, you know, and have asbestos in their lungs or something. I mean, they're things, you know, there's so many different reasons why you might have it. But if it's a genetic thing, you can, certainly God's going to go in there and change that, and then he'll command that be changed in the rest of your body, too. But it does take a while. It doesn't happen overnight.
We were talking about stem cells earlier, and they fascinate me also because
I love the stem cells. I love them.
Well, tell me what they look like to you when you see them.
Oh, I've told you that before. You just want me to tell everybody on the radio?
Of course.
Haven't I told you?
Okay. Of course. So, I don't want to keep all your secrets.
The first time I saw them was when I was working on myself, and I called the stem cells to come out, go to work, and I had them clearing out, I don't remember what it was now, but I had them working on some particular section that they were working on. And, I mean, they were very serious, and they came out twos, and they came out formation, and they're like, I'm on it, I'm doing it, you know. It was like, okay, sorry I mentioned it, maybe I said it too many times or whatever. And, I mean, you know, I felt like I should apologize to them because they were acting like I was, you know, not overbearing, that they were, well, maybe I was overbearing or I wasn't understanding that they understood what to do,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they were serious about their purpose and determined that they would do it. And I didn't need to sort of prompt them. They didn't need prompting. They knew what to do. So the next time I called them to come out, I was working on myself again, and I always do things like this on me first before I do them on anybody else to make sure that I understand exactly how they work. So I went in there and I asked the stem cells to come out again. This time they came out and they were all dressed up in blue and white. for the Duke Blue Devils, who I adore. And I just hooted. I was like, oh my gosh, look at them. They're dressed up like Duke Blue Devils. I love it. And then I just laughed and laughed and laughed. And they were showing me that they not only understood their job and their duty and their responsibility, but that they did have a sense of humor. But it was, you know, and they didn't need prompting, you know. They knew what to do, and they were going to show me what they were like. So sometimes now when they come out, if I'm working with them and telling them to come out for somebody, like, for instance, you, they might come out in red and white.
Oh, they came out in red and white with me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, from Maryland. The colors of Maryland.
Now, when you call them to come out, Caroline, where do they come from?
They come from the bones, from the bone marrow.
Mm-hmm.
And they can come out. They can come out pretty much anywhere they want to come out, is my understanding. They usually come out wherever they're closer to the area they're going to.
Oh, uh-huh.
And there are also pre-stem cells, and those are sort of like a baby stem cell, I guess would be the best way to do it. They're not fully developed as stem cells, but if you need to do a lot of repair and replacement work, because the stem cells can repair and replace any part of the body, then you may need to request that the pre-stem cells become stem cells so that you have more of a supply of stem cells.
Let's talk about this a little. And the film that we were talking about where science was taking some
stem cells.
I'll get out. To repair the heart.
Uh-huh.
Because people out there who are listening to us might not be aware of what science is doing right now.
Well, they're doing lots and lots of research with the stem cells, and what they're doing is they don't need to necessarily use embryonic stem cells from from babies, okay, from the umbilical cord that's attached to the baby. Their stem cells already in your body. They know pretty much what they have to do, but we've not used them fully. So now what the scientists are doing, and they talked about this week on the morning news show, they took stem cells from the leg of a man in Australia, maybe. I forget where it was, and they developed them in the lab, and then they injected them into his heart in what looked almost like a comb, but it was needles that they injected the stem cells into his heart, and the stem cells are repairing, in fact, several areas of his heart that had been damaged by a heart attack were completely repaired 3 months later.
Yeah, I thought that was very interesting because they were showing pictures of that.
Mm-hmm.
I forget now how they took the pictures, but it showed areas of red, how it had changed color. The stem cells were working on it. I thought it was fascinating.
It is, and actually they don't really even have to do that. They just need to understand that. And I know they'll get to this point because God wouldn't be telling me about it if it were not so. The stem cells can go and become anything, and they can repair because they can become any place, any kind of cell in the body. They can become leukocytes. Leukocytes are the white blood cells that clean up any damaged area. Mm-hmm. So they can become leukocytes, clean up any damaged area, then become that area and repair and replace it. It's amazing.
It is amazing.
They've known for years that the liver would repair itself. Well, why wouldn't some other part of the body repair itself?
I first started thinking about stem cells a long time ago when I thought about how two cells come together to form life. And you have two cells, one contributed by the male, one contributed by the female. They come together, and from these two cells, they have the knowledge to become every organ in the body, every miles of veins and blood and tissue, all from two cells. And so that amazed me years ago when I thought about that. And so really what that was the natural intelligence of cells to be able to do this work.
Beep, beep.
Right.
Beep, beep. You know, I was going to beep myself in, but I'm much classier than that.
Oh, you were going to beep yourself in, but you're more classier, so you just came in.
Beep, beep. You know, God, I love your show, Carolyn. And Carolyn, you always touch me. And when I actually get a chance to listen, I realize why I miss the other shows and why I should have listened all along. I really do love it when you two are together. I have a question.
Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. You do powerful work together.
Thank you.
We do.
You really do. I've been seeing some images in the last little while. I went into it because I was a little curious about this, exactly how this works. And tell me if I'm right, because I really don't know, honestly. But I get images of, how would you describe, I get these images of these little small connections. And they have little strings to them, and it kind of looks like a U, and it has energy, and it moves through it. At a very small level, I can picture this, but it comes to me very clearly. And what it seems to me is like these energies, what the whole meditation and what I was getting was about was how these energies, these newer energies, are moving through our bodies. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, what you are seeing, are you looking inside the body and seeing
this? No.
Or is it outside the
body? It's totally outside the body. I was just trying to get a picture of what's going on, and I see new energies that are in place now that have been coming in, moving in the body. And I don't know whether it's almost like a current. At a molecular level. This is just the picture I see when I'm looking at it and what happened in the meditation, but it kind of amounts to this, and this is something that I've read a little bit about, and it seems to make sense to that as well, that these energies are actually somehow spiraling into your helix, your DNA helix.
Uh-huh.
And as they spiral into your DNA helix, it actually pulls a piece of that DNA and moves it along with it, almost like two spokes put together and one dropping, like a three-dimensional spoke system.
When did you start seeing this?
Gosh, I felt it for a long time, but I just started seeing it about a week and a half ago.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome, because you're seeing the
Carolyn,
DNA.
Go ahead, Carolyn,
you answer. Well, you're seeing the DNA being changed.
I think that's what it does. Somehow, something,
yeah.
It's physically, I think science is going to prove this, if they would really look at the genetic code, and then, like a person a few years ago, and then look at his code, genetic sequencing again today, I bet you it's different. I truly believe
Absolutely.
It's different.
Absolutely. I see it as different every day when I'm working with people.
So that's not nuts, is it? Good.
No.
Okay.
No,
well,
no.
We're all a bit
that's
nutty.
Awesome.
So, you
well,
know, I don't know.
Carol
you know.
Has to say. Carol?
Well,
I
would agree with you completely, Caroline. I'm trying to think of the year that I went to France and we were working with spirits on the other side to help bring in that initial change in DNA. Remember I told you I went and how we worked on DNA and that there was a new strand that was coming in and you had seen it, but, you know, synchronicity. We were there helping to bring it in, and then you saw it in with people that you were working with. Do you remember that?
Yes, but I don't remember what year that was.
No, I want to say it was like 2000. It's been that long ago. And Donald, what happened back then is these were forces, off-planetary forces, that were bringing in a new DNA line. Now, what was so striking about that is when I told Caroline what we were working with, she immediately saw the new DNA line come in. And so this has been working, I want to say, since the year 2000, slowly evolving the DNA. Now, everybody says that we have a 12-strand DNA, but I don't really think that that's the case. I think that back in the time of Atlantis, our DNA had many more strands in it than what we understand, and that it is the DNA itself that holds all of these abilities. In other words, these abilities that we are working towards is centered in the DNA, and as the DNA is changed, and we hold now some of the strands are
do
physical,
you see that
some
in,
of the strands are etheric.
Here's a question. Do you see that as, like I see it, almost as if humankind was underdeveloped and that actually when this resequencing occurred by these, well, visitors and their manipulations, and if for good and bad reasons, that they actually, in respects like you're saying, did do some separation of the I think they did some splicing of our genetic coding, but I think in many respects it was almost an upgrade.
Well, Donald, this might seem a little way out, but what I believe from information that I have received is that back in the times of Atlantis, we had a much higher level of ability that was contained in the DNA. We had more strands of DNA.
Yes, somehow that's true, too. That fits in with what I understand as well.
Now, what happened back then is because of the fall, so many reasons, we don't need to go into that, is the physical form was changed dramatically. One of the things that happened is that there was a change in the right and left hemisphere, and the reason for that is because the spiritual information that was coming in was divided now from the logical reasoning side, and there's a lot of reasons why that happened. Other changes occurred in the body too. Now, as we are evolving, we are coming up to the next step. We are now coming back to what we were back in Atlantis. So
yeah,
it's a round circle.
It still feels like they've upgraded us in many ways, though. You know what I mean? Like there's got to be some genetic sequencing, I feel, throughout many. And I know, because I've read a lot of this, but I also feel that it's an upgrade. Most respects, most of mankind has really been upgraded by genetic manipulation. Even though
I don't want to disagree because I don't know for certain.
Yeah,
but
it's
I
weird though.
This.
But I believe what you're saying. In the beginning, we somehow they downgraded us too. That's weird. We have a caller.
I wanted to finish that because I think it was important.
I'll let you finish, and I'll let you. I'm sorry, I took so much of your time.
No, you didn't. Okay, what should we do? Take the call or finish that thought?
Well,
we're getting up to the hour.
It's up to you.
Look, I'll say real quick, and maybe we can do both. Back in Atlantis, for those people who remember, and I was with a group of Atlanteans who remembered that lifetime and who remembered what they were doing. And the sort of things that Atlanteans were doing was remarkable. They knew how to take energy and actually create with it. I was talking to someone who remembered being a high priest, who remembered taking the energy, putting it in his hand, creating a flower. Now, well, maybe we need to discuss this at some other future show. But you see, the early Atlanteans, who were of the law of one, were so advanced, and they received information from the spiritual. It didn't go in, that they had it right there. It was right at their fingertips, this knowledge.
Thank you.
This is what we're evolving to. And I think this is what you're seeing.
Yes.
Do we have a real quick time for a caller?
He just disappeared on us.
He just hung up. We can chat then.
Well, we only got we're about a minute and a half over.
According to my thing, we're right up to the end. But listen, real quick, I will say to those out there, go to my website, carolynevers.com, look at Journey to the Other Side. The masters are coming in with some really great information. Caroline, give your telephone number, and then we'll scoot off and let the next show come up.
Okay, my phone number is 540-586-2401. Thank you all for joining with us today. We had a good time, and we will talk to you in 2 weeks. Love you.
Don, beep into us more often.
Yeah, do.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye, Carolyn.
Bye, darling.